Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa Conference Call. So today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Ram Gadari Prabhu to enlighten us on Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela. So thank you so much Prabhuji for giving your valuable association. So please accept our humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Guru Maharaj. So now I would like to hand over the call to you Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I'm so sorry, I'm still figuring out on the technology. I didn't know that we have to be on both the sides. I was online somewhere. So today we are going to discuss from Chaitanya Charitamrita. And it's a very interesting series on Chaitanya Charitamrita where we are discussing about Mahaprabhu's conversation with Sanatana Goswami, and we are discussing from verse number 24 onwards. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Bhukti Siddhi Indriyartha Tare Nahi Baya. Translation: in the material field, people are interested in material enjoyment, mystic power, and sense gratification. But these things do not appeal to the devotee at all. Text number 25. Yo dushtyajandarasutan suhrudrajyam hrudi sprusha jahau yuvaiva malavat uttamashloka lalasa. King Bharata was very eager to attain the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who is called Uttama Shloka, because poems and prayers are offered to him for his favor. In his youth, King Bharata gave up his attractive wife and children, as well as his beloved friends and opulent kingdom, just as one gives up stool after passing it. Purport. These are the signs of virakti, detachment, found in a person who has developed bhava, the preliminary stage of love of Godhead. This verse is quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam 5.14.43. Sarvottama apanake hinakari mane. Translation: although a pure devotee's standard is above all, he considers himself to be in the lowest stage of life. Text number 27. Harau ratim vahangesha narendranam shikamani bhikshamatan naripure sapakam apivandate. Translation: King Bhagiratha always carried affection for Krishna within his heart. Although King Bhagiratha was the crown jewel of kings, he was still wandering about and begging alms in the city of his enemies. He was even offering respects to Chandalas, low-class men who eat dogs. Purport. This is a quotation from Padma Purana. So we are going to discuss from verse number 24. To 27. So before we start discussing all the other details of this shloka, we'll offer our prayers to our Guru Parampara. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Namaom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदी गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. सो वी आर डिस्कसिंग फ्रॉम चैतन्य चरितामृता मध्य लीला Chapter 23, text number 24 to 27. So we are discussing a very interesting series wherein we are talking about the serious as well as intense part of Krishna consciousness. And these conversations are generally not dealt with superficiality. Because these conversations about deeper aspects of devotion definitely need to have some amount of seriousness. And the seriousness is brought in not just by words, the seriousness is brought in by our actions. Last week, when I was discussing on Srimad Bhagavatam, we discussed a very interesting point from Srila Prabhupada's life, where we discussed that the process of devotional service gives so much assurance for us in such a way that if we just stay put with the process, we can make it to the spiritual abode. So today, Srila Prabhupada is taking us through, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is taking us through the prayers or the conversations which talks about the symptoms of a person in the stage of bhava. So we are going to discuss this verse, four verses 24, 25, 26 and 27 through some set of postulates. So, generally these postulates or these reflections, they are not limited, they are not restrictive, they are not meant for superficial conversation. Since this conversation is about love of Godhead, sadhaka need to understand these topics as we are undergoing a surgery upon us. The process of surgery in a person is a pretty intense and a serious business. But the unique aspect of this surgery is that we are the patient, we are part of the surgery performing, using the tools that are given to us. There are definitely other doctors, there are definitely other nurses, there are definitely other equipments, but the surgery is done on us, by us. So hence, there is no concept of superficiality. If you are doing surgery on somebody, if you are part of the surgical operation, you are not allowed to be superficial. What you speak of when the operation is happening upon us. So the postulate that we are going to discuss today is not just an English statement. They are meant to dissect our heart and go to the deeper aspects of devotional sentiments. So in our journey in Krishna consciousness, we are encouraged to take up many, many, many strategies. These strategies that we try to take up in our devotional life are very, very serious business, and these strategies are not just external symptomatic, or they are not just meant for some chit chat or some conversation. So these strategies that we are adopting, the way we are adopting strategies for our materialistic life, we need to adopt strategy for our spiritual life as well. So in this four verses that we discussed today, Srila Prabhupada is talking about, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is talking about different words. Detachment, they are talking about humility, they are talking about respect, they are talking about engaging and utilizing our intelligence and energy for the glorification of the Lord. So the first postulate, as a part of our surgical operation, when we are dissecting within ourselves, when we are going deeper within our heart, when we are analyzing about our spiritual journey, is fearing for things which we don't need to fear, and not fearing for things for which we fear, will derail our devotional path. I repeat, fearing for things that we need not fear, and not fearing for things for which we are supposed to be fearing, will derail us from devotional journey. The reason this postulate is relevant to this context is, when Mahaprabhu is explaining about the stages of bhava, when Mahaprabhu is explaining about people who are involved in deeper devotional aspects, they show some symptom of commitment, they show some symptom of consistency, they show some symptom of self-compassion. So hence, the first thing that we need to happen for all these three things is to be having fearlessness in applying Krishna consciousness in our own life. we all have come to the stage of Krishna consciousness understanding. We all have come to the stage of hearing about Krishna consciousness. We all are participating in everyday morning Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita class. But the moment we are asked the question about application of what we heard in the class, we have serious issues with that. Or when we analyze why are we not able to apply, we have chains. Our hands are tied at one end, this hand is tied at one end, our legs are tied at one end. We are all tied all over places because of which we are not able to move even though we wish to move. Previously, the civilization was God-centered civilization. From God-centered civilization, we moved to call God-fearing civilization. Now we are moving towards very fast towards no God civilization. From God-centered to God-fearing, if you see all of us as sadhaka, practicing devotees, we have fear. I used to always jokingly say that Naganam Najanam Nasundarim Kavitam Va Jagadisha Kamaye Mama Janmani Janmanishware Bhavata Bhakti Rahiti Swayi. Suppose if we memorize this prayer along with the meaning, can we loudly chant this prayer along with the meaning and shed tears to Krishna and say, Krishna, I mean it? What is the meaning of this prayer? Nadanam, I do not want any wealth. Najanam, no followers. Na sundarim, no beautiful women or glorification. Life after life after life, please engage me in your devotional service. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is writing a wonderful point. Why life after life in this devotional path? Because even if we are not able to accomplish the success of your devotional life in this life, in the next life also, I want a privilege where I don't get carried away by these four things. And hence, please engage me in your lotus feet service, my dear Lord. This is the prayer. Can we chant this prayer very boldly? Can we chant this prayer? And that's when our real test comes in. So the stage of bhava is a stage of fearlessness. The stage of bhava is a stage of commitment. The stage of bhava is a stage of consistency. The stage of bhava is a stage of compassion towards self as well as towards other living entities. So if somebody is elevating themselves in the journey of Krishna consciousness, so we need to have this symptomatic indication within ourselves. Unless we build in, unless we contemplate on these characteristics, how will we make progress? So hence this postulate is, let us learn to fear for things for which we need to fear. We discussed long time back about classification on what to fear for, what to not fear for. So we kind of need not go there at this point in time. But the point I want to say is that as practitioners, we need to sincerely and enthusiastically learn to apply Krishna consciousness in our daily life. And what we hear, we should strongly contemplate and somewhere develop the courage to apply them. In the last 10 days, 15 days, I have been interacting with some people over here. We are starting, you know, some new initiatives in Navi Mumbai. So we are starting a homeschooling arrangement.
And also we are starting some other educational initiatives. So when we are sitting and discussing about Krishna consciousness, application of Krishna consciousness, it makes a lot of sense. But when we ask you to do it, please do it. Okay, you are convinced? Do it. Then, you know, no, not now, probably later. And some funny questions start coming in. One interesting question one devotee asked. The question was that you are asking us to be Krishna consciousness in the education sector. What if my kid is studying in a Krishna consciousness schooling? He will always be surrounded by Krishna consciousness environment, always surrounded by Krishna conscious devotees. When they go to the normal outside world, how will they face the outside world? They will be able to face bad people. So the fear is, too much Krishna consciousness is not going to help us. Sometimes some of our youth parents who are not devotees, they ask this question, you don't be too good, neither be you too bad. You just keep it balanced, which means we need some amount of bad also in our life. That's the kind of philosophy that we are in. But when we have to go to the stage of Bhava, here Mahaprabhu is giving the example of King Bharata. King Bharata, from his very young age, from a childhood days, he was completely attracted towards Krishna consciousness, that he was not carried away by any unwanted things. So the point that I was trying to drive is, if we have to be serious in Krishna consciousness, we need to make serious commitments, we need to make serious decisions and start working towards it. Which means performing surgical operations on you. Sometimes those surgery will be with anesthesia, sometimes it will be without anesthesia. And this surgery means uprooting unwanted attachments that we have accumulated since time immemorial. So the stage of Bhava, hence it is not some artificial sense, not some superficial state, it is a serious business. They are telling Krishna, I am yours, and we mean it. And whatever Krishna wants to do upon us, we should allow him to do. As I said in the last week's class, that if we have done our prayers correctly, if our desires are intact, if our association is noble, and if still Krishna chooses us to put us through some challenging situation, that's the best thing Krishna chose for us. Hence, a devotee embraces those challenges as Krishna's blessings. That's the state of consciousness when we come to serious Krishna consciousness business. Not that we expect Krishna to always give us good results, not that the devotees will always be kind towards us, not that we have always pleasant situations. That means we are in a dream world. When we are doing Krishna consciousness conversation, we are not promising, nowhere we are promising you will not have challenges. Nowhere we are promising that you will not have problems. Nowhere we are promising that you will not be going through all sorts of hazards. The promise is that if you go through as a part of this process, you will go back home, back to Godhead. You will be saved from Adhyatmik, Adhibhautik, Adhidaivik. Number two promises, even in these challenges, we will be able to enjoy the Krishna consciousness mellow as a pregnant lady enjoys the pleasure in every pain that she gets. That's the stage of devotional life. So my first postulate hence is that if somebody is fearing, if you fear for active Krishna consciousness, if you fear for intense Krishna consciousness, if you fear for committing Krishna consciousness, consistent Krishna consciousness, because of which you are interested in some adulteration. Some adulteration is okay, no Prabhuji. Some aspects of distraction is okay, no Prabhuji. That is not what the stage of Bhava is talking about. Indra thought that, he said, I did my Mangala Arati, I did my Japa, I did my Bhagavatam class, now 9 o'clock, I am sitting in my courtyard and enjoying Manoranjan, enjoying dance party, watching Sony television, watching star movies, I'm watching some dance and programs. Because I did my morning sadhana, that's not the logic that we can give to ourselves. Because Krishna consciousness is not part of our life. Krishna consciousness could have been part of our life when we were Kanishta Adhikaris. Krishna consciousness could have been part of our life when we were basics in our Krishna consciousness. But when we are students of Chaitanya Charitamrita, when we are students of Srimad Bhagavatam, when we mean business in Krishna consciousness, we need to analyze microscopically view every aspect of our devotional life and try to purify them. Otherwise, we are still at the shore. Not yet jumped into the whirlpool. Not yet jumped into the ocean of ecstasy. This ocean of ecstasy have got some strong waves, and if we are very confident of this process, we will be able to swim through this process of Krishna consciousness. Gato mukundam parigritya kartam. So Krishna is explaining, Prabhupada is explaining in the Krishna book chapter 2. He says that when we reach the lotus feet of Krishna, the samsara sagara, the ocean of nisayam, can get shrink to the size of the calf's footprint to an extent that you can just jump over. Prabhupada very nicely explained there that sometimes people may ask that Krishna's lotus feet is like a boat which can help us to cross over the ocean of nisayam from this side to the ocean of bliss. When this boat is carrying from this side to that side, who is bringing back the boat back to this place? That's what Prabhupada explained. The unique phenomena here is, as soon as you surrender to the lotus feet of Krishna, it is not the boat that moves, it is the ocean that shrinks. So hence, in our journey of Krishna consciousness, when we are serious students of Srimad Bhagavatam, when we are serious students of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, we need to learn what to fear for. And we need to learn what we need not fear for. Please note, we are minorities. Please note, we are odd men out. Please note, we have no big support system from the outside world. But we are majorities in consistency with the spiritual authorities. In comparison with the spiritual world, we have a lot of majorities. We have Tripada Vibhuti supporting us. And we have Krishna's promise. And this process is assured by our bona fide acharyas who have seen the truth. So my first postulate hence is that for us to make progress to the stage of Bhava, rather than talking about Bhava, let us talk about what we do to reach Bhava. We need to learn to somewhere or other come out of this feeling of fearing for things that we not fear, now that we are not supposed to fear, and not fearing for things that we are supposed to be feared. We should come out of this and definitely need to learn what we need to fear for. We need to fear for our decisions against Krishna consciousness. We need to fear for deviations that are away from Krishna consciousness. We need to fear for things by which we will be going after, materialistic life, rather than going after Krishna consciousness. Number two, the second postulate is, very elaborately Srila Prabhupada has discussed in, some place in Srimad Bhagavatam about laziness. So the reason why sometimes the most scholarly and well-knowledgeable person are also remain in the stage of Kanishta. So the postulate is that because of our decision of laziness, the most obvious result that we know in front of us is far away. The point is that if I am not taking enough cognizance on what is available, this is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj's postulate, which is like jewels in our own backyard. This is what I have tried to, you know, present it in this way, where because of our laziness, because of our non-cognizance, we are trying to search out for something which is actually in our own backyard, but we are going around all over the place. Here is very nicely explained, verse number 26. Although a pure devotee's standard is above all, he considers himself to be in the lowest stage of life. In spirituality, das anu das anu das anu das makes us come closer to Krishna more and more and more and more. In the materialistic world, it is boss, anu boss, anu boss, anu boss. So everybody wants to boss over each other. So we are talking about detachment, we are talking about humility, we are also talking verse number 27 is about respect and leading a very humble and simple life at the stage of bhava. What does that actually mean? It means, how do we come out of our lazy life in Krishna consciousness? This I was analyzing myself. This I was analyzing many practitioners. Of late, we are faced with a challenge where we theoretically know that Krishna consciousness is a process that can help us to do, but because of our laziness or extended attachment towards what we possess, we are not able to relinquish. That's when we have so much of this decision of mixed Krishna consciousness. Let me have some materialistic life, some Krishna consciousness life, and let me balance it both. This word is correct that we are supposed to balance it, but the way we are supposed to balance it is 100% Krishna consciousness, at the same time responsibility wise we are not fanatics. I give a very nice example for this, which Krishna himself says this to Arjuna in 3rd chapter or 4th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. He is talking about King Janaka, and after that he is talking about his own self. He said, my dear Arjuna, that King Janaka, you see himself. Bhurijan Prabhu is writing a wonderful story of that in his book called Surrender Unto Me. What happened was, King Janaka was attending to a Bhagavatam class. So the spiritual master or the Gurudev who was conducting Bhagavatam class, he was appreciating about King Janaka. And the spiritual master had some brahmachari disciple as well as, you know, the king. So the brahmacharis felt that he is a worldly man, he is having kingdom, he is having, you know, facilities. Why is that Gurudev giving utmost importance to him over us? We are brahmacharis. We have a similar story in the episode of Ramanujacharya, but in a different use case, but exactly similar context, where Ramanujacharya gave importance over to a grihasthi couple over a brahmachari, where a brahmachari felt that why a grihastha who is having quote unquote comforts are glorified than a brahmachari who is doing austerity. So the point was, Bhurijan Prabhu writes that King Janaka, when it comes to his worldly duties, when it comes to his responsibility as a king, when it comes to responsibility towards his citizens and fellow members, he was not giving any excuses. He was not giving any underperformance. But when it comes to his own comfort, when it comes to his own, benefits, he was not giving any importance to his own benefits and comforts over Srimad Bhagavatam. So I don't remember the full part of it where Murijan Prabhu explains that one episode where King Janaka had to go back for performing his duties in the middle of the Bhagavatam class or something like that, and all the brahmacharis made fun of him. The very next day, it so happened that the spiritual master said that the hermitage or some of the dress of the brahmacharis were stolen or burnt. The brahmacharis couldn't control, they left, and the same happens to King Janaka, where his personal property wasn't at stake. He was not perturbed. So I don't exactly remember the sequence that Guruji Prabhu explained, but he mentioned how King Janaka performed his worldly duties so well in Krishna consciousness. And further down, Krishna, very next shloka, says that how, even though I don't have any reason to perform my duties, I did perform my duties in Dwaraka. At the same time, I did it as a spiritual duty rather than bodily consciousness. So the second postulate that I want to say, for us to elevate the stage of bhava, or for us to understand the people in the stage of bhava, is that we give up laziness and we get completely cognizant of what am I supposed to do, how am I supposed to do, and my mind is constantly thinking of how can I make it Krishna conscious, how can I make it Krishna conscious, how can I make it Krishna conscious, because even a small tinge of materialism is not palatable for us, for that person who is in the stage of bhava. He is so humble, so much respectful, at the same time so much more focused in his devotional journey that he will not compromise for his spiritual authorities and for his spiritual activities. So hence the second postulate is that laziness and non-cognizance in our spiritual journey will make us not recognize Krishna who is just in front of us. Krishna might be just sitting right next to us. Opportunity for us to grab the superlative Krishna consciousness will be just in front of us. But because of our laziness and non-cognizance, we miss that opportunity. Ramanujacharya's wife is an example. Srila Prabhupada's wife is an example. So many great personalities who their own family members could not recognize them, or their family members could not participate in the spiritual agenda because of some familiarity, because of some non-cognizance, because of some laziness, they are not able to appreciate the Krishna consciousness. So in our own spiritual journey, if we are lazy, Prabhu, I understand, but I am not able to act on it because of my chains connected to all parts of this hand is chained. So I am not able to pull myself out of that chain, then we have a serious concern. So here it is explained that how a person in the stage of bhava, he is not taking about personal credit or comfort, rather he is ready to serve and beg alms in spite of all the opulences. Verse number 27 says, King Bhagiratha always carried affection for Krishna within his heart. Although King Bhagiratha was the crown jewel of kings, he was still wandering about and begging alms in the city of his enemies. He was even offering respects to chandalas, low-class men who eat dogs. So the point here is that even though you are opulent, rich, you have access to the spiritual consciousness, spiritual authority, we are, seeing here an example of how they are acting, involving themselves in active Krishna consciousness and not being complacent or lazy. So the second postulate is, so long as we are lazy, so long as we are not vigilant or not cognizant about our spiritual consciousness or spiritual program, we will miss opportunity just like that. As I always say in English, in India, those who stay near the railway station always miss the train. So sometimes, because of our laziness, because of our non-cognizance, we are not able to recognize what otherwise we should have recognized by now. We are students of Chaitanya Charitamrita. If somebody is consistent for the past 1 year, 2 years, 3 years in hearing this Chaitanya Charitamrita, you please go back and sit in the drawing room and drawing board and measure. Have my consciousness changed? Have I changed somewhat in my approach? Have I changed in my doggish mentality? Have I grown closer to Krishna? If yes, how much? If it is proportionately good enough, great. If it is not, please act on it again. Because reading Chaitanya Charitamrita is not to be a scholar. Reading Chaitanya Charitamrita is meant to be a devotee. Third postulate is what I just spoke last week in the Bhagavatam class. So the postulate has got two parts. Number one is the part that I spoke about, the story of Dol Gobinda Shastri, and part two is what I read from Nectar of Devotion. Just for the sake of those participants who were not part of the Bhagavatam class last week, we discussed about the point which Srila Prabhupada mentioned by his friend. He said, some fool surrendered to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj will one day do it. For a question that Srila Prabhupada's friend asked Srila Prabhupada, Abhay Babu, I am reading from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writing saying that Russians, Americans, Africans, they will one day chant and dance in the streets and sing the holy name of the Lord. How do you think it is possible when Gaudiya Math is having so much of problem? Do you think this is possible? And what is Abhay Babu's response? Abhay Babu's response was, some fool surrendered to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj will one day do it. And that's not you. So the postulate here itself is that if we want to stay to the stage of Bhava, we should remain fools. That is what is written over here. He was begging alms, giving respect to chandalas and dog eaters. Very, very humble, not attached to anything, and simply carrying Krishna in the heart. So some fool, so considering ourselves fool in front of spiritual authorities, and just being a fool is not great. Prabhupada says, honest fools we don't want. We are not here to become fools, but we have to assume how much foolish we had been, and hence act on it and not be remain foolish. So the some fool statement is not referring to the futuristic. Some fool statement is referring to the past. I have been foolish. There are two Bhaktivinoda Thakur songs I always encourage our sadhakas to regularly recite. One is Amara Jeevan, second is Vidyara Vilase. In both these songs, Bhaktivinoda Thakur very crystal clear write the state of consciousness of the practitioners. He says that how just by materialistic education we got so much carried away, we got so much influenced by our materialistic education that we don't realize how much we have deviated. I'll just read that, one portion of that purport. Very, very, nice. Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says this. I am an impious sinner and have caused others great anxiety and trouble, which we do. I have never hesitated to perform sinful acts for my own enjoyment, devoid of all compassion, concerned only with my own selfish interests. I am remorseful seeing others happy. I am a perpetual liar and the misery of others is a source of great pleasure for me. The material desires within the core of my heart are unlimited. I am wrathful, devoted to false pride and arrogance, intoxicated by vanity and bewildered by worldly affairs. Envy and egoism are the ornaments I wear. Ruined by laziness and sleep, I resist all pious deeds. Yet I am very active and enthusiastic to perform wicked acts. For worldly fame and reputation, I engage in the practice of deceitfulness. Thus, I am destroyed by my own greed and I am always lustful. A vile, wicked man such as this, rejected by godly people, is a constant offender. And such a person, devoid of all good works, forever inclined toward evil, worn out and wasted by various miseries. Now in old age, deprived of all means of success, humbled and poor, Bhaktivinoda submits his tale of grief at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. This is the purport or the translation of the song Amara Jivana Sada Pape Rata Nahika Pumerilesha. It's similar to the song called Vidyara Vilase Kata Yunuta. So please read this purport. This song tells about how foolish we had been. So whenever we think of ourselves to be fools, it is not for the future. Prabhupada don't want fools in our movement. Prabhupada wanted to create Goswamis. So we need to think how foolish I was. Hence, I should not remain foolish. So let me surrender to a bona fide spiritual master. So Prabhupada's statement was, some fool. Surrender to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj. Even though I had been foolish, even though I was hippie, even though I was nonsense, even though I was in ignorance, even though I was in darkness, because now I have surrendered to a bona fide spiritual authority, what happens? We have a hope and we have a confidence. And the confidence the Prabhupada showed will one day do it. So answer to Dol Gobinda Shastri's response was that some fool surrendered to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj will one day do it. And Srila Prabhupada said, that's not you, one who doubts the words of spiritual master. And my third postulate hence is Bhava, the change of Bhava, the description, the more we read, the more we get baffled. Oh my God, you have to do this. Here we say that, you know, King Bharata was detached to his wife, detached to his children, detached to his house, detached to his money. Oh my God, can I do that? How long we go on saying that, Prabhu, I am a Kanishka Prabhu. Oh Prabhu, I am very fallen Prabhu. Prabhu, I do not know anything Prabhu. That's false humility. The height of humility is, you become a spiritual master and win more and more souls and think that you are giving this as a service to your spiritual master. All our spiritual masters sitting in Vyasasana accepting disciples, are they not humble? That's their height of humility. So height of humility is to say that how bad we are. No, that's not humility. That is stupidity. That is height of stupidity. You know what, Prabhu, for the past 30 years I've been practicing Krishna consciousness. I'm still a Kanishka. Somebody will call you humble? Oh, come on. Nobody will call you humble. I mean, if you think so, these people will call us foolish. So what is humility? Humility is that I don't remain foolish and I'm ready to commit. I'm lending my ears to be tweaked. And somebody asked Srila Prabhupada, which is more important, book Bhagavata or devotee Bhagavata? Srila Prabhupada says, devotee Bhagavata is more important because a devotee Bhagavata can tweak your ear and get you to the Lord of the Krishna. So the third postulate hence has got two portions. One is some fool surrendered to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj will one day do it. So the will portion is not on your bet on your foolishness, but it's bet on the surrender. And the second part of the postulate is what Srila Prabhupada writes in the introduction to Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Where Srila Prabhupada says that just by cultivation of consciousness and no action. Srila Prabhupada is giving an example of anusilana. I read it from Nectar of Devotion. Let me just try to see if I can pull that out. So, in the Nectar of Devotion introduction, Srila Prabhupada writes that just by cultivation of consciousness in the mode of goodness is not good enough. Unless and otherwise, we do some action. And he says two things there. Number one, giving up something unwanted and accomplishing a target, setting up a target that we have to accomplish. This is what actually anusilana means. So if you are students of Chaitanya Charitamrita, if you are interested in understanding the stage of bhava, at least this much sankalpa we should take. I am ready to relinquish some nonsense. I am ready to add some sense every day. If not in physically, at least it should eat up our head. What nonsense I should give up? What nonsense I should give up? What nonsense? How should I give up? Because what we accumulated for so many number of years, it is not something that is that will easily go away. So we need to prayas, we need to make endeavor. An endeavor should start from thinking, some nonsense I should give away, some nonsense I should give away. It should constantly eat our head. If it is not eating our head, after hearing Bhagavatam class, if you are just going on as if nothing has happened, then it is again one other intellectual sense gratification that we did. Some new points, some, you know, philosophical thirsty getting quenched. Fine, definitely some purification, because hearing Bhagavatam is purification. But how do you know that you heard Srimad Bhagavatam in the right frame of mind unless you put them in action? So somewhere we need to inculcate. So these three postulates are in the context that we are currently discussing, where the status of bhava is being discussed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We cannot come to the stage of bhava, we cannot even understand what the stage of bhava, unless we show this symptomatic transformation within ourselves. So to summarize our conversation, we discussed three postulates. But before discussing the three postulates, we discussed that the stage of bhava and this whole process of pure devotional service is a serious business. It's a conversation that is non-superficial. There is no superficiality attached. This is not scraping the, you know, surface. It is digging very deeper into this. So hence, let's mean serious business when we do this subject matter. And which means we show some sign of commitment. We show some sign of consistency. We show some sign of compassion. So that is the premises on which we started this conversation, because commitment, consistency and self-compassion are symptoms of a person who is in the stage of bhava. And this stage, to achieve that, we need to undergo some surgery. And incidentally, in the surgery, we are on the surgical table, and surgery is performed by doctors, specialists, and there are a lot of support staffs who are performing surgery within us. And incidentally, one person who is doing surgery should also be ourselves. So we are the one who are receiving surgery, and we are the one who are doing the surgery also, along with all the supports of some senior doctors, some specialist doctors, some nurses, and some tools, some medicines and various things. So we have senior doctors, spiritual masters, we have supporting doctors, other fellow devotees, we have nurses, and you know, we have so many devotional associations. We have medicines, which is Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, holy name, prasadam. We have surgical tools, which is the knowledge and the principles that are taught through the knowledge, which is cutting as a tool to go inside. So we have everything in place. And some operations are with anesthesia, so that we don't see the pain. Some operations are without anesthesia, we may feel the pain. just that allow us to go through this pain, and this eventually will take us out of all the problem. So this was the premises which we began, and we discussed three postulates. The first postulate is fearing for things that we are not supposed to fear, and not fearing for things for which we are fearing will derail our spiritual consciousness. So hence let us learn to fear for things that we are supposed to fear, and not fear and for those things that we need not fear, especially for performing spiritual agenda, taking one step forward to apply what you heard in Krishna consciousness, develop some courage to perform operations on you is definitely needed. Postulate number two that we discussed was that laziness and non-cognizance, laziness and not being vigilant will make us forget, ignore and not recognize Krishna and Krishna consciousness that are available just in front of us. So we may have dwell in our own backyard, but we will not be able to identify them, and we'll be beating around the bush, you know. So laziness and not being vigilant is going to not help us in any way. Hence, let us please buckle up and try to activate our active Krishna consciousness. As we always say, those who stay near the railway station always miss the train. Let us not be, having over complacency or over, laziness, that we are not able to act on it. It is our greatest misfortune. We gave an example of so many acharyas and great personalities. Their family couldn't recognize them, but the whole world took advantage of it. And this does not actually mean that we are washing our hands off. This actually means that how do we actually execute Krishna consciousness? And they gave the example of Janaka. They gave the example of how Krishna is referring to Arjuna for him to fight as a part of a responsibility and in spiritual consciousness, not as a responsibility for sense gratificatory benefit. And the third postulate that we discussed was about how the story of Dol Gobinda Shastri and Srila Prabhupada, which we discussed many times, and last week also in the Bhagavad Gita we discussed, where Srila Prabhupada makes a statement when he was questioned, the words of Bhaktivinoda Thakur will come true. He said that some fool surrendered to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj will one day do it, which means consider how foolish we were and not ever want to remain foolish again, and for that we surrender to the bona fide process, and we have a very strong conviction and confidence that even though we may not see the success, we still steadfastly remain focused in this process that we will make it to Krishna. While the whole world may mock at you, while the whole world will laugh at you, still if you are convinced, if you are confident about this process, the process wins you. And the second part of that postulate was how Srila Prabhupada says that it is important for us to understand that we need to, it is extremely important for us to apply cultivation. We should cultivate Krishna consciousness. If we don't cultivate Krishna consciousness, just by developing spiritual consciousness doesn't make any sense. So Prabhupada says that just developing positive consciousness is appreciated, but it should come in cultivation. And cultivation means two things: adding something positive in your spiritual life and making sure that every day we give up some nonsense from our lives. So these three, four shlokas which talked about the stages of bhava and persons in the consciousness of the stage of bhava, I did not maybe elaborate on those stages or how to understand those stages. Rather, I spoke about how to arrive at that stage, because it is more relevant for all of us to learn how to arrive there instead of or not just only talking about what it means. If I just say what it means, can we ever understand what it means to be Srimati Radharani, what it means to be King Bharata, what it means to be Bhagiratha? Probably, without we experiencing the mellow of it in action, we may think them as some non-detailed story or some philosophical treatise. But when we practice Krishna consciousness, apply them, these things will be able to easily appreciate. So with this, I end here. If there are any questions or comments, we can discuss. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. If there are any questions or comments, we can discuss.
Hare Krishna, Ramgiridhar Prabhu, Dandavat Pranam. Thank you so much, Prabhu. This was a very nice session. Thanks for going live as well. Very, very nice. I really liked how you connected with Janaka's example. And then about this point, that, you know, yes, we are not... what's that you said? You said that we are not qualified, but we shouldn't continue to... same situation or same line, rather we should work on it. That's what you were mentioning, right, towards the end?
Right. So I was trying to say that if we say that I was a fool, so then remaining foolish is not a, you know, solution. Come out of the foolishness is what.
Thank you. That was very nice, actually. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Hare Krishna, any other questions or comments? Okay, great. Thank you so much for being part of the Sangha. Just want to share with you, as I mentioned a few weeks before, we are publishing a book called the Stuti Sadhanam on 31st of March. So by the blessings of all the great Vaishnavas, I could publish this. We have compiled a book called Stuti Sadhanam. This is about prayers on 39 different personalities. So basically, when we are standing in front of Hanuman, Sitaram, Lakshman, Ganga Mata, Yamuna, Go Mata, standing in front of Jagannath Balaji Subhadra, standing in front of Krishna Balaram. Suppose if I hand somebody into that, when you stand in front of Krishna Balaram, what do you chant? Prabhupada writes in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd chapter, 1st shloka. He says, this is a Gajendra Moksha episode, in that Srila Prabhupada writes that we encourage all our practitioners to regularly recite some prayers. And as a part of that prayer, they will be able to, you know, it's a very nice point that Srila Prabhupada says that we encourage our students to learn some prayers or some mantra. I'll just read a small portion, even though it's not part of today's context. Just thought it's a very interesting. Srila Prabhupada says, it is imperative, therefore, that all devotees in Krishna consciousness practice chanting some mantra. Certainly, one should chant the Hare Krishna mantra, which is the Maha mantra or great mantra. And also one should practice chanting Chintamani, Prakara Sadmashu or Nashtama Stotra. Every devotee should practice in order to chant some mantra perfectly so that even though he may be imperfect in spiritual consciousness in this life, in his next life he will not forget Krishna consciousness even if he becomes an animal. So Prabhupada's encouragement is that we should somewhere or another learn to chant some prayers. So to help all our children, help all our adults, because when I was young, I was taught to, you know, pray, chant prayers and different deities. So I thought, you know, today's children sometimes miss them. You guys are doing fantastic job in everyday training the children. So I thought I'll share this news. There's a book called Stuti Sadhanam, and we are coming up with a mobile app version of this, but that is going to be launched on Narsingha Chaturthasi day. So right now we have got a printed book. So I'm coming to US most probably in the next 2 weeks' time. So if anybody is interested in getting access to this, can let me know. I will, you know, send you a copy. This is not, I'm not trying to market it here or trying to make some promotion, but I just thought it's a very important agenda for our children to learn to relate with different personalities. So you can take advantage of this. Hare Krishna, thank you so much for inviting me to this conference. Looking forward to speaking to you all later.
Hi Krishna Prabhu, thank you. And regarding the book also, if there is any link, you
I will forward you the details to you, and maybe you can supplement.
Yeah, and then I can send.
Sure.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
So if no one else has any questions or comments, we can end the call.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you very much for us. It's a meditation class. Shri Prabhupada, Shri Gurudev ki jai. Hare
Krishna.
वाञ्छा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. अनन्तकोटिवाष्णवृन्द की जय. श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय. हरि प्रभु की जय. श्री श्री चैतन्य चरितामृत की जय. हरे कृष्ण. थैंक यू ऑल सो मच.
प्रभु जी धन्यवाद प्रणाम. थैंक यू.